does how we live affect how we work? The reason I was thinking about this week is a result of a newspaper article in the Telegraph on Tuesday, in which our leader, Prime Minister Blair, is headlined as saying, "Ministers free to pursue private lives without moral censure." So we have a gentleman who has a Minister of State in our country, has not denied having a relationship with a married lady, and Mr. Blair says that this is not relevant to his responsibilities. It's interesting coming from that gentleman. We must be very careful, of course, not to become embroiled in party politics, but I'm hopefully just casting an overview on something. Mr. Blair, when he came to power in 1997, promised a new era of integrity in politics. We've become subject to many scandals in public life. The Prime Minister now says he regards ministers' private lives totally separate from public office. The comment from the paper continued, "That will be seen as effectively redefining the code of conduct for ministers of the Crown," which states, or it used to state, that they must behave according to the highest standards of personal conduct in the performance of their duties. So that's now being defined as long as they're not performing their duties while they get up to these things, it's okay. Number 10 made clear that Mr. Blair does not think ministers have a responsibility to set standards of propriety in their personal lives, provided it does not interfere with their public duties. I can't say anything more about that. My wife has said, you will ruin everything if you go too far. But we were told many years ago and worldwide, when things were coming apart, we were told not to be judgmental. And I think we were told not to be judgmental because we would quickly see that we were being cheated, lied to, and robbed. God tells us we must use judgment. Not to condemn other people, but to realize how we should be living. So, not going on about the person particularly, but just so that we are completely clear in our mind where God stands about people's moral conduct or integrity or the quality of the standards of their personal conduct. Let's have a look at Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. Under the old covenant, Moses recorded at God's behest, "And the man that commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." So, any of God's servants who failed to conduct themselves with the standard required, I think it would have affected their work. You don't work very good with a boulder on top of your head. It continues, when we think that people are in places of authority for wisdom, and as God's servants, hopefully we are preparing for offices of responsibility. One of the side effects, should we survive stoning, of having committed adultery, or possibly if we think we are getting away with a sin of this nature, Proverbs in chapter 6, verse 32, warns, "But whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding." I think that could also be expressed as lacks heart. Your heart integrity, your normal feelings of compassion or concern for the welfare of other people are all suspended if you steal another man's wife. Quite a contrast from present thinking in the highest levels of our society. It's intriguing. We sometimes wonder when God says that the foolishness of God is far higher than the wisdom of the greatest men. Well, I think the wisdom that is being expounded by some of our leaders present, we hopefully are able to see through very clearly. Obviously, how we live affects our performance at work. If you're a thief in your private life, you are not going to be trustworthy in whatever task you have to perform. We think of King David and Bathsheba. That did not only impact King David, his family, it certainly impacted Uriah the Hittite. He died as part of the attempt to cover up the sin. But also, as a servant of God, David brought enormous disrepute on God's way. We're told that we won't take the time to turn there, but the story is in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 12. Particularly notice what we're told in 12:14 in your personal study. We have to remember that when we have positions of responsibility, or any responsibility, at the moment we feel that perhaps our responsibilities are minor, but we are here to serve as examples of God's way of life. I don't know whether to be reassured or encouraged, but many years ago somebody looked at me very seriously and said, "Chris, don't worry. Everybody has a reason for living. Even a bad example is needed." I really don't know what they were talking about. I just want to look over a moment at Luke 16, talking about little responsibilities possibly. Luke chapter 16 and 10, verse 10. "He that is faithful in that which is least," so least, the least thing in our personal lives, the least standard of personal conduct, affects how we do everything, "is faithful also in much." If you refuse to be tempted to steal a small amount, then you're not going to be tempted to steal a large amount. How we behave impacts how we work. I'm amazed that people cannot see there is a connection with how we live affects how we work. If you're a junkie, a drug addict, or a drunk, it is going to affect how you perform your duties. Even a road sweeper has to remain sober to successfully fulfill his task. And if you are running a major department in business or government, if you are abusing drugs, it is going to impact your life. If you are so busy pursuing illicit behavior, how can it not impact how you do your job? An incredible attitude. How can you reflect the highest standard of government life when you don't care how you portray your personal life? An amazing concept. Absolutely amazing concept. There's a final scripture, if we could turn to Romans, please, which Mr. Bowles often explains the things that completely bemuse me when we look around at the world today. You know, why can't people see? Why can't people understand? This is the where we're pointed to, the first chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. If we could start in verse 28, cutting out some of the more obnoxious pieces. Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." I've got a note here on the side, not fitting, not appropriate, certainly not convenient. Verse 29, "being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." Really, Mr. Blair? People's private lives have no impact on their public duties? Brethren, we are called as servants of God. At this time, we have no exalted office, but we still have a responsibility to understand that how we live affects how we work. It affects everyone we come into contact with. If we are liars, our word is worthless. How can we preach God's truth if, as a matter of course, we lie, deceive, cheat, steal? How can we witness for God? How could we give a warning as watchmen if the word has no value? Our words have no value. It does apply in our life. We are not in charge of the politics of this country. We are just observers. I do not condemn the man who is embroiled in these problems. That is for God to decide how to deal with that. But let's be absolutely sure, in our personal lives, how we live affects how we work.